Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The film Just Mercy is out today in theaters across the country, and it tells the true story of lawyer Brian Stevenson and his efforts to exonerate a man on death row.
Why are you doing this?
Why am I a lawyer?
No, no. Why is you a lawyer down here in Alabama taking these cases that ain't nobody gonna pay you for?
When I was a teenager, my grandfather was murdered over a black and white TV. We kept waiting for someone to show up to help. And that's when I realized that outside my community, nobody cared. Because to them, he's just another black man killed in the projects. I know what it's like to be in the shadows. That's why I'm doing this.
In the film, Jamie Foxx portrays the role of Walter McMillan, a black man from Alabama who was wrongly accused and convicted of murder and sat on death row for 6 years. Michael B. Jordan plays the role of Stevenson. This film comes at a pivotal time as states throughout the country are reexamining the use of the death penalty. Joining us now for more on Just Mercy is the inspiration behind the movie and executive producer, Brian Stevenson. Welcome to Here and Now, and congrats on the film.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Yes. Well, Brian, Just Mercy is based on your memoir of the same name, and I hear you were a big part of producing this film, contributing to the writing of the script. How does it feel to have your story up on the big screen like this? Was it something you always wanted to do?
Well, not really. It's kind of surreal to be in this place. I mean, I think, you know, after 35 years of going into jails and prisons and standing next to condemned people facing execution, it never crossed my mind that, you know, that would turn into an experience like this. When I wrote the book, I was just trying to get people closer to the reality of over-incarceration in America, to the problems that we have in this system that I continue to believe treats you better if you're rich and guilty than if you're poor and innocent. And even after the book was finished, I really didn't have any clue or idea that someone would want to make a film. So it's been really surreal, but it's been pretty exciting. You know, the people involved have been so committed and so dedicated to getting this right that I feel really good about the film, and I'm excited that people will have a chance to see it.
This movie offers a small slice of your life and work. You're the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, which represents people on death row, and you've also been instrumental in pretty significant reform, the 2012 U.S. Supreme Court decision to ban mandatory life parole for minors convicted of murder. This story in this film focuses on one of your earliest cases, Walter McMillan. How were you able to narrow your work to this story? Why was this one specifically an important one to tell?
Yeah, when I was writing the book, it was just going to be one of maybe 20 or so cases that I talked about at length. But there was so much richness in the Walter McMillan case. I mean, first of all, the crime took place in Monroeville, Alabama, which is where Harper Lee grew up and is the setting of the fictional novel To Kill a Mockingbird. And that community so embraces and romanticizes that story. It was surreal when I began working on this case to have a whole community directing me to the To Kill a Mockingbird Museum, talking proudly about their relationship to that story, while I was trying to get them to pay attention to the plight of an innocent black man who'd been wrongly accused of killing a young white woman. And I just thought there was a lot to explore in the case. Mr. McMillan was poor. He was a person of color. The people who convicted him, I think, had every reason to know that he was not guilty, and yet he was convicted and sentenced to death anyway. They put him on death row before he would actually been tried or convicted of any crime. And there were just so many elements that exposed the way fear and anger has shaped our criminal justice policymaking in this country. And it just was a really powerful medium through which to, you know, talk about these issues.
Mm-hmm. I watched this film with my 12-year-old daughter, and I thought to myself as we watched it that it was a difficult but really important introduction for her to some of the major flaws in the criminal justice system. In 2014, 42% of those on death row were black. It's a big question I'm about to ask you, but how do we begin to grapple with the racist legacy that has really led to these disparities?
I think we do have to begin talking more honestly about our history of racial injustice. I don't think our country has ever engaged in any meaningful process of acknowledging the injustice, the inequality. I think we're a post-genocide society. What we did to Native people was a genocide, and we haven't acknowledged that. And we've allowed systems to continue that have been compromised by these narratives of racial difference. I think the great evil of slavery wasn't involuntary servitude. It was this idea that black people aren't as good as white people. And that continues after the 13th Amendment. And it's why I've argued slavery doesn't end, it just evolves. And we had 100 years of terrorism and lynching and violence where black people were pulled out of their homes and beaten and murdered and drowned and tortured and lynched. And we've never really talked about that. And even though we pay more attention to the civil rights era, we haven't confronted the fact that this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to black and brown people is still with us. It's why these police encounters with young black people that end up with lethal violence are so disruptive and so painful. So I think we're going to have to commit to a process of truth and justice in America. You go to places like South Africa and Germany, and you see evidence of nations that have grappled with their history of apartheid and the Holocaust. But we haven't really done that. In Germany, you can't go 200 meters without seeing markers or stones or symbols that have been placed next to the homes of Jewish families that were abducted during the Holocaust. But in this country, we haven't created that kind of architecture. We haven't created that kind of landscape to cause people to remember and reflect on the challenges created by slavery and lynching and segregation. And I think that leaves us vulnerable to to new manifestations of that legacy, which is what causes people like Walter McMillan to be wrongly convicted, sentenced to death, and almost executed in our contemporary system.
I want to talk with you about your depiction in the movie. After you graduated from Harvard University, you decided to move to Alabama. And there's a scene where your mother, clearly worried about your well-being, says goodbye to you and essentially tells you your exceptionalism won't save you. And it's something in the film that McMillan says as well. Let's take a listen.
You rich boy from Harvard, you don't know what it is down here when you're guilty from the moment you're born. And you can buddy up with these white folks and make them laugh and try to make them like you, whatever that is. And you say, yes, sir, no, ma'am. But when it's your turn, they ain't got to have no fingerprints.
Brian, did that really happen? And how did you negotiate your identity and safety with your work?
Yeah, I always tell people that you can't do this kind of work with just ideas in your mind. To make a difference in this space, you've got to have the ideas in your mind fueled by conviction in your heart. And the great gift I have is that I am the great-grandson of people who were enslaved and they believed in freedom when it wasn't rational to. And I'm the grandchild of people who were terrorized by lynching and they believed in a better future, even though that didn't seem logical. I'm the child of people humiliated by segregation and Jim Crow, and yet they believed I could be anything I want. And it's that orientation of hopefulness that has sustained me. We say in the film, and I say when I give talks, I believe that hopelessness is the enemy of justice. If you want to do justice work, you have to be prepared to believe things you haven't seen. And it's what continues to define the work I try to do today.
This film is called Just Mercy, and it really is this idea that mercy fuels your work. The film primarily follows the story of McMillan, who is innocent, but we also see the story of Herbert Richardson, whose homemade bomb killed a young girl. Let's take a listen.
I think they're gonna set my execution soon. Last lawyer said there ain't nothing left to do.
There's always something that we can do. Whatever you did, your life is still meaningful, and I'm gonna do everything possible to keep them from taking it.
Brian, you've represented countless people who are guilty of their crimes, but you ask for mercy for us to respect the value of their lives. Can you share more on this idea?
Yeah, I've just learned, I've come to believe that to each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. I don't think that if someone tells a lie, they're just a liar. I don't think if you take something, you're just a thief. I think even if you kill someone, you're not just a killer, and justice requires that we understand the other things you are. I believe in holding people accountable. It's not that I'm opposed to punishment, but I don't think we can reduce people to one act. Because I think, you know, ultimately, issues like the death penalty can't be resolved by asking, do people deserve to die for the crimes they've committed? I think the threshold question is, do we deserve to kill?
Is that what you want folks to take away from Just Mercy?
Well, I want them to take away a new understanding about these issues. I've just always believed that if people saw what I see on a regular basis, they'd want the same things I want. I don't think I have some bizarre perspective. Many people, most people in this country, don't want there to be inequality and injustice. They don't want people to treat it unfairly or cruelly. And I just think if you get closer to it, you'll be motivated to say more, to do more. And I do hope people that see this film will walk away with a greater consciousness about why we need to do better in this country when it comes to creating a justice system that is fair and reliable.
That's Brian Stevenson, lawyer, social justice activist, founder and executive producer of the Equal Justice Initiative. His life and work is portrayed in the film Just Mercy, in which he is also the executive producer. Just Mercy is in theaters nationwide today. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.